Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 11, 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Morning, everyone. How you doing? That's great. I've got one person answering. That's always a good start. This morning, obviously, I'm talking about prayer. Sorry, extend a warm welcome if you're new. My name is Davis, just part of the team here. And it's a joy for me to share, not because I like it, but probably because what it does to me. And so hopefully, as I'm sharing with you, there's something in the Spirit would speak to you. Okay. Has anyone here traveled to a country where you do not know how to speak the language? Yeah? Okay. Just doing a little bit of a exploration going on here. And how did you find communication? Hopeless, okay. That's not very hopeful in a church right now. Anyone else? Challenging. So a little bit about me. At 5 years of age, I only spoke Samoan. English wasn't just a different language, it was a different world. And I remember stepping into school at 5 years of age, and feeling a bit locked out. And not because of any hostility, no one had done anything mean to me, but by unfamiliarity. The world was happening all around me. I had no clue. It had happened before I was even entering into my mum's womb. But I didn't yet have the language or the words to kind of enter in and participate in what's going on. And slowly, bit by bit, A for apple, B for ball. Yeah, you're all familiar with that. Slowly, I begin to understand the sounds, the words, the sentences. I gained access, and through that, I gained access to a world, and I can engage in that space. New colors, relationships, emotions, pain, happiness, laughter was all there, awaiting for me to speak into or to inhabit. And I think prayer is a little bit like that. I want to suggest as we go through the text that prayer is humanity's spiritual native tongue. Prayer is humanity's spiritual native tongue. And I deeply believe it's taught by Jesus, because in that culture, they'd already prayed. They know how to pray. But there's something different about how Jesus is praying. And I hope in this text we can see how he models this in his life. And we see that in the beginning of Luke, how Jesus is making a claim of who he is. And now he's actually passing it forward. You know, we see that. He's challenging us. He's kind of pushing us through those boundaries. And last week, we had the topic of Mary and Martha. And all of this is leaning into this prayer. And Jesus actually wants his disciples to inhabit this. It's not just a practice. It's an experience that he wants his followers of Jesus, like you and I, to continue into a lived experience, to participate. I deeply believe we're all born with this native language. You don't have to be a believer to try and make a connection with the divine. Times of stress, we see that in our world when people are crying out to maybe what they might consider nothingness or the openness or practices that are kind of step one, step two, step three, whether they be yoga, nothing against that if you're a yoga person, but these ideas on trying to get in touch with the divine and create a system so it can do what I want it to do. So we understand that there's that sits within our world today. Yet for many of us, I feel like prayer can feel foreign, like the language thing at times. Hard, disappointing. I don't know why this is not going to answer why God answers some and not others, if that's what you're kind of wondering I'm going to talk about. I've had the privilege and the honor over the last 7 years of my almost 10 years here to run internship. And one of the first things we teach is, what is prayer? And with that, I've just had to kind of refresh my own prayer life through experience. It's not just a step, it's not processes, it's inhabiting it myself. I've had to learn that myself. And it makes me wonder that maybe it's because we teach and perform prayer. But like any language, it takes time. So I just want us to hold that idea in mind as we go through the text and allow it to speak to us this morning. So I've only got 3 points. The first one, the sense of belonging. I've got titles, but like, I don't think they're cool enough. So I'm just going to name them out. So first sense, belonging. This idea of connection to the Father. Father, hallowed be your name. Have you ever wondered as a parent, you know, you might understand this, how you can tell the cry of your own child even in a crowded room? How you can hear the sound of your child, the laughter, even on a playground, and you can distinguish it, and you can hear the tone of, Mom, Dad, you know exactly. Kind of, okay, my senses are going out. Where is that? Where are they running around? It's unique. And have you ever wondered how interesting it is? You don't lose that. You hold that even though they become older. Fascinating, isn't it? And Jesus starts his teaching on prayer with the Abba. It's not a performance word. It's relationship. Here I believe Jesus is connecting us into the idea of being known and recognizing the one who hears us. Isn't that interesting? Abba, one word, hallowed be your name. Abba, Father, set apart, but the idea that you know who I am and I know who you are to me. I know what you think of me. And then I kind of ask the questions, why? And I think a lot, but I think it might be because love trains the ear. Think about learning. You want to learn something you're passionate about. If you're not passionate, it kind of doesn't stick. But love trains the ear, training to listen. When you train the ear, it's something that's intimate. It's connection and it's recognizing. Here, Abba is connection with the Father, but actually recognizing that, actually, I know who he thinks who I am. And the more we're able to inhabit that, the more we can recognize the Father's voice. And because he recognizes yours and mine. So Jesus here begins with not asking, but with belonging. Not with technique, but identity. And in this context, in the Middle Eastern Jewish context, calling God Father wasn't just casual. Okay, this is the other flip side of the coin. It was radical, absolute radical. Tom Wright would say, Father is to invoke the God of the Exodus, the liberating God who brought bread to the hungry, forgiveness for the sinners, and deliverance from the powers of darkness. Some of us are here today because you're hungry. And because there's nowhere else to go. Some of us are here because, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can feel trapped into cycles, revolving habits that then get me to sin and break the relationship that's going on here. And we feel trapped, feeling disconnected from the God, the Abba, our Abba. Some of us walk around like a cloud hanging over our heads. Beautiful the weather has been over the last couple of days. Nothing like the sunshine breaking through, deliverance out of the darkness. And I'm so glad you're here this morning. Praise the Lord. Psychologists say that language creates attachment. In the same way that prayer, the spiritual language of prayer, creates a spiritual, secure, and attachment that binds us with the one, with Abba. So it's not even about earning. It's about living in the truth that you and I belong. Point number two, I call this kind of belief or believe, this ability to surrender and to trust. Your kingdom come. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Now it's out of that sonship and belief and belonging that we find, or that daughtership, that we kind of build this deep sense of belonging. And then we get what Jesus does. He loves playing jokes. We get the parable. The midnight parable. And what I love about parables is that they don't have to be true to be real. And wherever your heart is at, you can slip and slide out of the character and nature of the telling of the parable. Stages and season that you might be in. And I love that. And Jesus paints the strange picture. Someone knocking on a door at midnight. Asking for bread. The one inside is asleep, his family on the floor. It's inconvenient, it's disruptive, but even culturally awkward. And I was thinking about this and I started giggling because every now and then my kids come to me and they come to me and I go, hey, can we have a sleepover? Hey, can we get all the mattresses because we've got a two-story house? Can we bring them all down and we can all kind of bunk up in and they stay up a little bit later, they eat some stuff they're not meant to eat, you know, the TV's on for a while, and we give them this pre-warning, Renee and I go, you know that means Uriah's going to be here, eh? And they're like, what do you mean? You go, you're not going to sleep in. He is going to be up at 5:15 in the morning, as he does every morning, running around, making noises, and just waking you up. So I'm just, if you're going to have a sleepover, know that you're not going to sleep in, okay? And they're all kind of like, they've built the capacity to be able to deal with this, okay? So they're all right. And it's funny, but it reminds us that in Jesus' time, some families of that area slept side by side on the floor. So when one gets up, everyone woke up. Hospitality was collective, but it was also costly. But the point I think he's making is pretty simple and clear to us, hard to kind of attain, but keep knocking, keep asking because God is better than the reluctant friend. Jesus invites us to holy boldness. The man's shameless persistence, reflecting that the trust that something good will come, even if not immediately, even if not at all. I trust, I surrender. And we move on. And so I ask, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Each of these statements or actions, seek, ask, seek, knock, requires trust from us. You ask because you believe someone is listening, eh? You only seek because you believe you're going to find something that is worth finding. You knock because you believe someone will answer. And this is the posture of belief in the kingdom of God. It's not passive belief, but it's surrendered persistence that I think Jesus is alluding to here. To believe is to keep knocking, even when it feels like no one's home. It's to keep seeking, even when I cannot see the path, the next step ahead. Because prayer, like I say, isn't a technique to get the results I want. It's a relationship that draws us to God's way, God's time, God's heart. And I love what Keller says here, where he says, belief without surrender is negotiation. But belief with surrender, that's love and that is trust. I don't know about you, but I like that in this relationship with Jesus as we're communicating and yabbling, talking to each other. I'd love that. And the key's coming up. Jesus doesn't just promise you get what you want, but he promises you'll get what you truly need, which leads me to my last point, which is becoming empowered by the Holy Spirit. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I think this is the climax. It's not bread. It's not answers. It's God Himself. The greatest gift is the Holy Spirit, God's present in us, not just for us. And we see these movements. We move not from just the words we say, but then they begin to shape. And then they begin to shape us and what we become. Kingdom people, carriers of the Spirit, participating in God's renewing work in the world, right here, right now, today. Recently, Renee and I have just been giggling about our boy Uriah and his reading, and I've had just the honor and privilege of seeing him begin to read. For me, it's sacred, actually. At first, it's just letters. Then it's sounds. Then it's words. Some good, some not so good. Eh? Then it's context. Then it's bigger pictures. Then the why behind those phrases. And he's growing and things are just clicking. And the lights are beginning to come on and I'm just like, whew, I am so glad I'm present. I can't say that for much, but I am so glad I'm just watching this. And it's not a simple process. For any parent that knows how hard it is to teach, you know, boys to read, it's like ongoing, I'm so glad I'm here. And I want to cherish this unfolding, this learning, this forming. But let's be honest, for many of us, that's not the world we actually live in. We live in a world where more digital connection is found, but socially we're empty. A world where we scroll endlessly, but we can struggle to sit still just for one. Just a little bit. A world where our attention is constantly fragmented and bombarded and our soul feels so disorientated at times. And sometimes it's a mirror of our prayer, life, language. We feel disconnected. We forget the rhythm. We lose the language. Hey, don't speak it, you lose it. You've heard that saying before? But like learning to read, prayer is about formation. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches you and I. Prayer is the space where the whispers of God become recognizable. The desires of heaven shape you and I, right here. The noise of the world just fades long enough so then the light can kind of just get into those places where they're cold and dark and sad. Dallas Willard says, the first and most basic thing we can and must do is to keep God before our minds. While I've been preparing for this, I've just been carrying this around all for the last probably 2 weeks, even at the gym. I ended up at the gym. It was in my pocket. I was like, I didn't plan that. Okay, I'm no more holy than you are. It just ended up, I've just been caring and thinking about this. And this was from Robin Appleby when I first got here. You have no idea how many prayers people have said for me. People I didn't even know. I remember parishioners passing away, and their kids would contact me and say, hey, did you know my so-and-so has been praying for you every day? Never met them. They have a list in their book. This is probably traditional. List of people they pray for every day, day in, day out, every day until the day they meet their maker. And my name was on it. I don't even know them, don't know anything about them. Just the power of prayer. And there have been times, there's been some super hard times in my time here. My time out there, and I'm sure you feel the same. But the power of prayer in the front of our mind. And I, Renee knows, I carry this when I'm kind of in just a state, just to realign my mind back to His, to remind me. Prayer is how we do that, formed by the Spirit, fueled by grace, sent into the world, not just with good ideas or good times, and I hear that a lot from young people, let's have good times, not just good ideas and good times, but with God's very presence of the Holy Spirit with us, and us, and you, and I. And so now as I come into, let's ask ourselves, how do we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit? We are able to receive the Holy Spirit because Jesus made a way. When I think about my son learning and what it takes, I'm reminded that we don't learn this language of prayer on our own. I remember that we're able to ask because Jesus asked first. We're able to seek because Jesus came and seeked you out, Prue, and me out. And you are. We're able to knock because Jesus knocks on the door of death, enters it, smashes it, breaks it through, and comes alive and brings new life to you and I again. He opens the way. And this is what Tom Ryder's trying to say, is that this is the new, long-awaited exodus. This is it. The kingdom of God becoming reality to you and I, here and now. So how did he do it, you may ask? By offering his life as the very bread for the hungry. By going to the cross to forgive us, sinners. And by rising again to deliver us from the powers that trap us, the powers and the plans of darkness. This is the gospel. Jesus doesn't just teach us to pray. He gives us access, authority, and intimacy to even call God Abba. Because of him, we don't come in fear. We come in belonging. We don't pray to get things. Even though we want to and we make our petitions, we pray because we've already received the greatest gift in our lives. The Holy Spirit alive in you and I, transforming us and sending us out. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? This is not a question, it's a mirror. I think Jesus is challenging us. Jesus isn't just teaching us to pray now. He's asking, how do you view the one you are praying to? Some of us come to God like he's a principal waiting to correct our every move and smack us into line. Or we might come feeling like not sure if he's going to be the friend that's going to betray you and I. Or he's this distant deity that lives out there that kind of, you know, pointing down at me. And I'm asking and I'm begging for provision. I think Jesus is saying you can trust the Father. He is better than you ever dared to believe. And so I want to offer just three simple, challenging shifts, maybe on what Jesus might be saying in these verses as we approach in this week. Not steps, but postures of relationship with God in prayer. And number one, pray like a child, not a performer. Start from relationship, not religious kind of pressure. You're not auditioning, you're actually home. Huh? So start from that place of home. Okay. There were lots of statistics thrown out about what gauges in the world how long young people stay in faith. And the only denominator out of all things that answers that question is the fact that your kids see you on your knees praying and worshiping at home. I sing with my kids, and I'm not perfect. They know that. You don't have to say that. But at night, I'm praying over their heads. I'm asking, kingdom come. Lord, just your kingdom enter into this space, into my son. Late in the middle of the night, and, you know, it was really interesting. My brother and I talked. It's the same denominator for both him and I. We were walking. He's come out from town at night, and he used to sneak through the back window, thinking my dad doesn't know, and here I am, the annoying little brother that's kind of like watching out, it's like midnight one, and he's sneaking in, and we walk past him, while we see my dad on the knees, pray for my son, day in, day out, seeing it at home, worshipping in songs and singing, and see it at home, pray with your family, see it at home. You're not auditioning, you're at home. Number two, pray with trust, not technique. Prayer isn't a formula or unlocking some sort of blessing to kind of come down. It's surrender to the one that knows what you need before you even ask. Try, trust. Last one, pray with the Spirit, not on your own. You and I have been gifted and been given the Holy Spirit through Jesus. He teaches, he empowers you and I. He fills, he speaks, he lives in you, he lives in us. And I'll close here. If you have a view, if we have a view of God, that is all rule and no relationship, all sovereignty and no friendship, then we will never persist to pray. But if you know him as Father, Abba, friend, you will never want to stop. This week, may your prayer life be less about getting it right, but getting it real with God. You already belong to him. You can trust him. We're empowered by the Spirit. And he's open to all of us. Let's pray. Oh, you're so good, God. Father, you're so good. And we just worship you. We adore you because you are the God that is persistent with us. We see that in Jesus. We see how you want to be close. We see how you have come and given yourself, your son, so that we may experience in life, not just in processes, but experience you in our life. Guide us as we move our posture of prayer into belonging and into relentless trust. And Lord, I pray for us who are feeling a little bit sad or down, that you are the good comforter who will always be near and close. Guide us, we pray, in your mighty name, Jesus.